Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Oh, we're ready. We're on it today. Ready to go. Thank you for being with us. And we've got a different program, and it's different in this respect. We're going to take a topic and kind of turn it around and twist it around and do some neat things with it. We've got a fabulous guest that our radio producer Beth Muthart set up for us. His name is Bill Oxier, and he is an author, speaker, consultant, and he's written the book To Lead, Follow. Put it like that. Pretty simple. BillOxier.com is the website. Hey, Bill, welcome.
Well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me here.
Hey, listen, thank you. I'm really glad you could take some time. I've got a bio here that's going to take the totality of our 27 minutes together, so let me just read that and we can be finished. But no, kidding aside, I'm really pleased that Bill's on the program with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a best-selling, award-winning author, speaker, consultant, 30-year veteran. Anytime you get somebody with 30 years in something, you've got somebody that knows what they're talking about in the healthcare industry and founder of the Dynamic Leadership Academy. Contributing author to the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Masters of Success, does a lot of work with leaders in the healthcare industry. We all would appreciate that very much, Bill. And just a student of the business. He's got a bachelor's degree in business, master's degree in communication, and a doctorate in leadership. And so, listen, thanks for taking the time, Bill. I've got lots of questions for you.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Here we go. So, leadership, you know, it is a much talked about topic. It is highly valued in our society and around the world, not just the American society. And it's something that we look at and say, hey, listen, that's a really important quality and we need it. Organizations need it. Countries need it. We need it from our politicians. We need it from the companies that, or from the individuals who are running companies that we invest our money in through stocks and mutual funds. We need it everywhere. So my first question for you, I don't want to save it for the end. What does good leadership look like from the outside? Then we can talk about what it is kind of from the inside. But what does it look like from the outside looking in? What does an organization look like that has great leadership?
See, if you Google leadership, you're going to get, I think the last time I did it, it was over 18 million responses, something like that, on with various definitions of leadership. So leadership kind of means something different to everyone. My favorite definition of leadership is one that I've heard other speakers use too, but it's very simple. And it's simply this. Leadership is when others follow when they don't have to. You know, a lot of people equate leadership to authority and power.
Okay.
But true leadership is when others follow when they don't have to. You're not holding a carrot out in front of them or pushing them from behind. They want to follow. So I like that definition of leadership. So when you apply that to a small picture or a big picture, I think that's a great way of seeing leadership. You know, you always hear stories like the book Good to Great.
Right.
Looking at level five leaders who've had long-term results with their companies. There have been scholars that have argued, while Collins didn't use the term servant leadership, a lot of the attributes that those level five leaders have could be equated to servant leadership.
Okay. So there's a key word that's in there. It's really a matter of choice. People choose to follow.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because with
authority,
when there's a mandate and there's the ability to enforce a mandate, then there's really not leadership there. That is just that's dictating.
Well, and sometimes that's what you need. You know,
right.
Different situations call for different leadership styles. If, you know, when you're charging the beach at Omaha Beach, you
right.
don't want to have a conversation about it.
That's
you
true.
Go, baby. You know, so different situations call for different types of leadership, be it transactional leadership, transformational leadership, servant leadership, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Well, but these qualities, I mean, you mentioned the level five. I am familiar with the good to great, and these qualities that make up leadership, and especially in some of the companies that are publicly traded that are, you know, of course, observed in our economic society, you know, there is that leadership that they exhibit that moves these companies forward and does inspire and get a lot of, you know, good things out of the people that are making it happen. And so those people are the ones that people look to and say, okay, look, they've got something special about them. They're not just another leader.
Exactly. And if you go back to my definition of leadership, when people follow when they don't have to, you know, when you see a truly engaged organization where people are going above and beyond their job descriptions to get things done, when they're recruiting anybody they know, friends and otherwise, to come to work there, when they are espousing the benefits that their organization brings to the community, that's an engaged group of people. And that's definitely a sign of effective leadership in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and toward that end, you talk about that recruitment of the team at an organization. How about this idea that I've seen kind of bantered around in different circles about leadership just isn't for the people at the very top? You know, there's within an organization, there are multiple leadership opportunities. And so we're not just talking about that figurehead out there, but it can be in multiple places in an organization, right?
Absolutely, because one of my pet peeves is too many people think that once they get promoted to a certain position within their organization, be it a for-profit, non-profit, you name it, they think that automatically makes them a leader. And your position and leadership are two totally separate things. I think we've all seen people in positions of leadership who are highly incompetent as effective leaders. Mm. I mean, one of my favorite TV shows growing up as a kid was MASH, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember.
And you remember Lieutenant Blake, played by the actor's last name was Stevens. He was the colonel in charge of the MASH camp, but he was totally incompetent as leader. As a leader, everyone did what they wanted. So was he a leader? On paper, yes. But was he an effective leader getting things done? Well, you could say that he empowered others through his lack of leadership skills.
Yeah.
But position and leadership are two totally different things. So yes,
that's true.
You can be a leader regardless of what your title is. You can be a leader regardless of what your position is on the organization chart. Leadership and position, authority and power, all totally separate topics.
Yeah, you're right. Who came in? Was it Colonel Potter that came in to replace?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And that was a totally different leadership style, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, he a lot more of a cavalry man, if I remember correctly, and he could smell a horse within 100 miles of what the thing said on the program. That was very funny, but no, it does speak to the differences of styles, and I thought that was an important thing to note, Bill, because a lot of times people only think of the folks at the very top of an organization, and it's really, you know, in many parts, and it should not be overlooked. If you're just joining us, Bill Oxier is our guest today, PhD, and we're super glad to have him with us. The website is Bill. I will spell you the last name so you can get the website right, ladies and gentlemen. Bill, and it's AUXIER, Oxier, BillOxier.com. The book To Lead, Follow. Grab a break. We'll come back and get into some more details here and why this stuff matters. Stay right there.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Oxier on the line with us, PhD, author, speaker, consultant, and as I mentioned, 3 decades healthcare consulting industry experience, and started at the bottom. Now you're here, Bill, CEO of a medical device manufacturer with global distribution. That's pretty impressive. Along the way, you learned a lot about leadership, didn't you?
Absolutely, and I learned about leadership not just in the United States, but around the world. It's always different visiting other countries and conducting business, and the way they do things and the norms and values that they have are just a great way to learn.
What's the big, okay, that's a wonderful question you just gave me. What is the biggest surprise you ever had that you saw in the culture and customs of other countries as it related to leadership? Something you'd be like, wow, what are some of the big differences you saw?
Well, one of the big differences that was just more of a cultural thing, mm-hmm. and where it was an expectation, and that was in Japan, working with our people over there. You know, those guys work until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Really?
And that's expected. And then they get up in the morning and go to work again. So the work hour norms, whatever you want to call it, that they put in a lot of hours there and they work very hard and they have a lot of traditions as we do too here in the United States. We just don't notice them as much because they're not different to us.
Right, right.
Someone from Japan would think, oh, those crazy Americans.
Well, can you imagine? I'm sure this has been said or done, but you contrast the American work ethic with the Japanese that you described, Bill. Imagine contrasting the French or some of the European countries to the Japanese. They would be like, you're from another planet, man.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, I wrote a paper that was published earlier this year in the Journal of Value-Based Leadership, and in that paper, what I did, it was a qualitative study that I looked at the core values of four different leaders. One was the CEO of a medical device company in Japan. One was the general manager of a medical device company in the United Kingdom. One was the owner of a medical device distributorship in India. And then I also included myself while I was the CEO of a medical device manufacturer here in the United States. And I was trying to get at the root of everyone's core values. And interestingly, one of the common themes was sports.
Hmm.
For the CEO in Japan, it was rowing.
Okay.
Rowing at the university level and then he coached at the university. For the gentleman in the UK, it was cricket. For myself in the United States, is playing team sports in high school and coaching team sports as well. And so it was interesting, the recurring theme of sports.
Why is that?
All the cultural differences.
Why do you think that is? Is it the discipline? What is it?
I think it's a great way to learn how to relate to others because these were all team sports. They weren't
okay.
individual sports. So, you know, working on interpersonal relations, taking a leadership role at certain times and then backing off into more of a follower at times. So that's my conclusion.
Yeah, well, and I saw with the book, you got to lead, follow, and then the subtitle, which is actually at the top of the book, says 26.2 miles to greater clarity and effectiveness as a leader. So obviously a lot of the things that can inspire people, you can use this marathon analogy. Do you do some running yourself?
Yes, I've completed 5 marathons
wow.
in my life, although if you looked at me, you would not think I was a marathon runner. But
well.
You asked me about leadership earlier.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I believe is that leadership begins with you. Leadership of self provides you with the foundation of everything you do as a leader. And my book, To Lead, Follow, is basically a tribute to my father, who had a huge influence on me and my core values and my philosophical foundation of leadership.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about that. You know, the core values. What are they? Where do they come from? Of course, now we kind of know where yours come from. You've shared that. But what are they? What is that? When you say core values for our listeners, what does that mean? You know, for a company to have core values, for the leaders and individuals to have core values, what does that really mean for us today?
Well, great question, and thanks for asking it, because core values of an organization and an individual are the same. It's because it's the values that we hold within our belief system that forms the foundation for for which we perform work, the way we conduct ourselves, basically for everything we do. And you know, you think about it, there's an entire universe of values out there. Some of them are, you know, pretty basic that everyone agrees upon. Some evolve and change through society changes, government changes, politics, technology, etc. But our core values are the ones that remain regardless of all these changes and influences that are taking place in the world. And so my book, To Lead, Follow, is what I did, and I try to get other people to do too, is you need to reflect on exactly what are your core values, why are they your core values, and how did you come to arrive at them? You know, who are the people that influenced you? You know, and it's interesting too, when you think about the people who influenced you, yes, my dad had a huge influence on me, but, you know, it could be living people, it can be people from history, like Abraham Lincoln is one of my heroes, and some people may think I'm old, but I'm not that old. you know, so it can be, you know, fictional characters, you know, Mark, you know, Huckleberry Finn or whoever, you know, that provide you inspiration to form your core values. And you need to reflect on those core values and think about why they are what they are, why you accept those, and should you continue to accept those, or should you evolve and all that. And I love thinking about stuff like that while I'm running. And so that's what I did. I ran a marathon and thought about my core values and the influence my life, my dad had on my life. And then I journaled about that, and that journal became a best-selling, award-winning book.
Outstanding. Well, listen, what is that? It's almost like it was forged in the heart of battle out there on the, leaving it on the pavement. And you had, I'm sure, at least a couple hours to think it through on the run, right?
Yes, I don't want to talk about how long I had to think about it, but you know, what I did, and I, all your listeners, I mean, it's a great thing to do, is what I did is I made a bracelet, and I put, for each mile, and in a marathon, it's 26.2 miles, I put a life event of, chronologically listed life events with my father, and so my goal was to run 10-minute miles, which I was able to accomplish. And so,
excellent.
And I ran this marathon in Vienna, Austria, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. So what I would do is every 10 minutes I would stop, take a photograph of where I was so I could remember that moment in time. And then I would look on my bracelet to see what life events that I wanted to reflect on. And so I thought about that for the remainder of the 10 minutes. And the next 10 minutes, I'd stop and take a picture and think about the next.
So it was easy. It was just 26 one-mile runs.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. And it was, you know, it was quite interesting. I don't speak German or Austrian. And as I'm running the marathon, on every corner, you know, there's lots of people. There's a very large marathon. And at every corner, there were people clapping their hands, going, hop, 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 hop. And in my mind, all I could see was this little brown-eyed bunny rabbit hopping around. But finally, around 22 miles in, I finally figured out, okay, that's go, 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 go.
Okay. A little bit of an unconventional running recommendation, but nonetheless, it encouraged you. That's very good, Bill. Well, I love the inspiration, and I'll get some completely indulgent advice when we come back from the break about running. But if you're just joining us, Bill Oxier is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, PhD. The book is To Lead, Follow. And the website, BillOxier.com, AUXIER.com. Right back after this break.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. The YMCA has 6 locations to help you and your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE child care programs provide a safe and nurturing environment. So whether it's Kids Zone while you're working out, after school enrichment programs, kids fitness programs, or Camp Winona Resident Camp, the Y is a safe place for your child. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back with Bill Oxier on our program today, PhD, and the book is To Lead, Follow, 26.2 Miles to Greater Clarity and Effectiveness as a Leader. And I have to ask you. I try to run, Bill, and I just don't like it. I try to run. And, you know, I ready for this? I would rather swim a mile than run a mile.
Oh, man.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So is there, yeah. I mean, I try to, I mean, I run the mile. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I mean, I don't actually, you know, obviously a mile is not, running is not as bad as swimming a mile, but I just enjoy the swimming so much better. So I don't know. Is there hope for me to run a marathon someday?
Well, that's up to you. You know, it's every different strokes for different folks. You know, just
yeah,
like
really.
We were talking earlier, you know, there's lots of different leadership styles.
Exactly.
And we all have different things that we're attracted to that we enjoy more than others.
So, well, thank God we're not all built the same, right?
Exactly.
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh, if there were, I mean, a million Bill Oxers, what the world would be like?
Oh, Lord, help us.
Out there counting their bracelets and changing the world one marathon at a time. I know I love it. I love the story. And I think it's inspiring for a lot of people and to think about these things. And the thing that I'm getting from you, Bill, about our core values is that they are, to a large degree, a result or an infusion from our surroundings, the people we have been surrounded by during our lifetime. And these core values can be a great influence, but they also can be perhaps a major obstacle when some of those values maybe are not, let's just say, consistent with interacting with the world in a good way.
Absolutely. You know, there are people that provide poor role models and install less than desirable core values. I'll never forget when Charles Barkley was first playing in the NBA, you know, he said, hey, I'm not a role model.
Yeah.
And it was after some event that got a lot of publicity. But the thing is, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice of whether we influence others or not. We don't have a choice if we are a role model. We don't have a choice of whether we instill values. We do, whether we know it or not. Because you, if you haven't thought about it, you need to.
Hmm.
Who do you follow? And on the other side of that coin is, who's following you?
Right.
And that's the theme of the title of my book.
Well, if you're not exactly, and if you're not paying to that, as Charles Barkley would say, you're just a knucklehead.
That's right. It's very good.
Right?
Yes.
Gotta love Charles.
I met Charles Barkley, and I love the guy now. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I love that. I just love that. You're a knucklehead. I like that. Well, yes. It's inspiring nonetheless. But the reality is I think it's appropriate to recognize that and in looking at now, let's look at this. We've got this core value or values that come from these external influences, our society, our culture, our people around us. And let's say that we look at ourselves and go, okay, I can kind of step back and recognize what these things are. Maybe they've done one of your runs where they focus on their core values, Bill. And they want to be an active participant in shaping their own values. In other words, it's not the cement is not dry. I mean, they could still have a way of looking at their own view of the world and say, okay, these are some things that I want to really do better at, or I want to look at my values, and that's not really who I want to be, and make a change with it. Is that something we can do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I do all the time. That's my life, working with leaders, helping them to make changes in their core values, their habits, behaviors, et cetera, that are preventing them from being the effective leaders that they want to be.
Yeah.
So, yes, very possible.
I thought so.
But it's hard. It's not easy.
Well, and that's the part I was kind of hung on is it possible, and then is it easy? And I kind of, I'm not surprised with the answer, but it's the focus of what you do. So it's something that somebody has to be willing to focus on. And I'm sure you could tell a story after story of people who've been able to successfully make those transitions or the, I guess the word I'm looking for is like a reformation, a rebuilding of how they view certain things and for that to then shape their future going forward.
Absolutely. And it's not easy. I mean, when I give a presentation, I always like to ask people in the audience, how many of you have been wanting to lose 10 pounds or more, you know? And a lot of people raise their hands. And how many of you have been wanting to lose that weight for more than a month, more than 6 months, more than 12 months, you know? And the point of it is that it's not easy. We may want to change, that making the changes that we need to make, that we know we need to make, are hard. And that's why you need someone to help you. And that's what I do when it comes to leadership.
Well, we're glad to have you, Bill, because we all need a coach. We all need that. It's difficult, you know, to know the steps. I think that's where we get hung up. You mentioned the still, you know, wanting to lose the 10 pounds or whatever it is in somebody's life. They want to quit smoking, or they want to be a better leader, or whatever it is. You know, they got the want. Okay, I got that part. I see the 10 pounds.
Right.
I got that, Bill. Now, what do I do about it? And that's where I think, you know, that's why I'm so pleased you've written the book, to help, because we just don't know the next step to take of how to get there.
Exactly. And the thing with this, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about is, you know, core values and all that, and being an influence and helping people and everything. And the thing of it is, this is bigger than us, because once we're not here anymore, once I'm not living on Earth anymore and I've passed on, the people that I have influenced, those who have followed me in some form or fashion, that influence is still going to be there. You know, when I was running the Vienna Marathon, as I approached the finish line, you know, that meant that on my bracelet, my dad's life was over, because he had passed away, and this was my tribute to him. So crossing the finish line, I was at one part jubilant, because I was tired as hell after running 26.2 miles. But I was also almost in tears, because that meant my life, dad was over. My dad's life was over. And so that was a tearful, joyful moment. And finally I recovered, and I went over to get something to eat and drink. And this woman came up to me and started talking to me in German. And so I used my most fluent German to say, "Sprechen Sie Englisch?" And she said, "Yeah, yeah." So she said, she told me what had just happened to her in the marathon. So for the marathon, I had a shirt made that said, "Thanks, Dad," on it, with an old family photo on it. And she had just ran the marathon with a group of her friends. And at the water stations, they always broke up individually. And they always said, "We'll regroup behind Thanks, Dad."
Oh, that's
because
funny.
Because they followed me the entire marathon. And man, I broke down in tears, because I said, my dad, who never met these people in a foreign land, a different language, he provided leadership for this group of people throughout the Vienna Marathon.
That's wonderful, Bill. Well, thank you for sharing the story, and thanks for sharing some time with us. Bill Oxier, ladies and gentlemen, PhD, and the book is To Lead, Follow, and the website, BillOxier.com, A-U-X-I-E-R. Bill, we're out of time. They have to go to the book and to read the rest of the story, and thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you so much, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.